So he immediately called in the surveyor, and the surveyor said, "Don't touch this house. It's riddled with woodwork from top to bottom. It has gone right into the house next door, and even if you replace all the wood in this house, all the floors and everything, it will eventually come back. So forget about it." So my husband seemed very pleased about the outcome of this, and he said, "Okay, now will you forget about the house? We're not getting it. I tried. I was willing." Well, a week later, another house was advertised in the paper on the other side of the road from this house. But this house cost twice as much as this first one. But it had everything done to it. So I read it out to my husband, who said, "Forget it. Forget it. We're not even going to look at it. Don't even think about it." So I kept on thinking about it and asking him, "Please, couldn't we just go and look at it?" And he said, "Well, okay, we'll go and look at it, but don't you even think about moving in, because you're not." And I said, "Well, I would like to see what you can do to an old house like that. This house has it all done." Well, we went to see this house. The real estate agent showed us around, and I couldn't believe this house. It had everything done, a beautiful new kitchen, new bathroom, all replastered, replumbing, new roof. Everything was beautifully furnished, decorated, all beautiful carpets, velvet curtains. And I'm going, oh, wasn't that lovely? And my husband's going, "Shut up. This guy will think we're interested." So when we came to the end of the little tour, this agent said, "Could I have your telephone number?" And my husband said, "No." And I said, "Hold out your hand." He held out his hand, and I wrote the telephone number on his hand. Well, I went on praying about the house. And I thought, you know, God doesn't dangle something lovely in front of your eyes and say, "There's no way you're going to get it. You can't have it." He doesn't do that. Now, I began to see that the problem here was my concept of God. That I was saying, "Okay, I'll settle for that house, that'll do, and we'll fix it up, and we'll do this, and we'll do that." But the other house was saying, "Oh, this is the way I do it. This is the way my father does it. He does it in style. He gives you the best. The house is done. It's fixed. It's beautiful. Get your concept of God right, Merle." And I knew that that was an angel message talking to me. So I said, "Right, I'm going to get my concept of God right," and I started to hold to the truth. Well, one day the agent called me and he said, "Well, have you thought any more about that house?" And I said, "I haven't stopped thinking about it." He said, "Well, why don't you put in an offer?" And I said, "I couldn't, because the offer that we would put in would be ridiculous. It's half the amount that you are asking for the house." He said, "Well, Mrs. Smith, I'm going to be honest with you. The young couple who live in that house are Roman Catholics. They bought that house at the beginning of the Troubles. This is a Protestant locality. This young couple, their family were builders. They bought that house in a bad state. They fixed it all up. And now they can't live in it. They haven't lived in it for a year. They've spent so much money on advertising, and you are the only people who even came to look at it. So put your bid in." So my husband wasn't home, and I said, "All right, I'll tell you the bid." I put the bid in, and my husband came home from work, and I said, "I better confess what I have done." And first he was a bit angry, and then he laughed and he said, "Well, there's no chance. They'll never drop it that much. They'll never accept that price." Well, an hour later, this estate agent called up. He said, "This couple have accepted your offer." So my husband said, "There must be something wrong with that house." So he sent the same surveyor to look at this house, and this surveyor said, "Go for it." He said, "If you don't want this house, I'm going to buy it. I haven't seen such a good bargain in years." So we said, "All right, we will let this offer stand, providing we can sell our house. We put our house in with a different estate agent. You call them estate agents? Real estate agent. We put our house in with a different one, and it went on the market on a Wednesday. And on the Wednesday night, I went to church, and I had to get two buses to church and two buses home. And I came home, it was late, and my husband opened the door, and he said, "There are a young couple here who want to look at the house." Well, I couldn't believe it, that someone had come so quick and so late at night, and all my kids were in bed, and the house wasn't very tidy. And anyway, I let them see the house, and they absolutely loved it. And they said to me, would you be prepared to sell your carpets and your curtains, because we like it as it is, and all the light fittings? And I said, well, we might have to, because they wouldn't fit in the house that we are going to. And one of the objections that my husband had to the house was that even if we bought it, we couldn't afford to carpet it and curtain it and put more furniture into it. Anyway, the next morning, the real estate agent from the house that we wanted to buy called me and said, "Congratulations, your house is sold." And I said, "Well, what do you mean? You're not the real estate agent for this house." He said, "No, but the couple who came out to your house last night are the couple whose house you're going to buy." And they want to know, can they come and see you? They came to see us and they asked, "Will you swap carpets and curtains and everything, light fittings?" And we said we would be delighted, and we left some gardening tools and they left other things. And this was the most wonderful, just a very neat, orderly exchange. This whole house had just been redecorated. And so we moved into it. But I began to worry about the other people. I thought, this doesn't seem right, that they have lost out on this deal. And so I began to pray to know that God's law of compensation was present and in operation in their experience, that they couldn't lose out. Well, the wife, she called me up one day. She said, "I want to tell you how much we love your house, and it was so clean and nice and everything." And we got into conversation, and she told me that she would love to have a baby. And they had tried for 5 years, and they hadn't had any success. And I talked to her about God and being the only creator and so forth. And then one day she called, and she asked if I would pray for her so that she could have a child. And I talked to her about Hannah and Samuel, and that God set up the solitary in families. And we kept in touch with each other. And then one day she called to tell me the good news that she was going to have a baby. And so we kept in touch. And when they were in this, she had a beautiful little boy. When they were in the house 3 years, they decided to move house. Now, the house that they had bought from us was in a good area, because lots of Catholic people who were nervous where they lived were buying houses in this area. And when they sold their house, they made over double the price. And so they got back everything that was put into that house. Wasn't that a lovely proof of God's care? And the angel messages that I was getting all through that time. It was nice that I, you know, when my husband said, "There's no way, you're not going to do it, you can't get it," these angel messages would say to me, "Thy maker is thy husband." And he's not saying no way. He didn't show you this lovely home and then say, "The one across the road is going to have to do you." That's not the way God does things. The nice thing about it was also that the house that we finally bought was on the sunny side of the street, and the other house hardly ever got any sun. So that was another time that God's angels were taking care of me. Another situation was when I applied for class instruction. I had read a lecture in the Christian Science Monitor, and I thought I would love that man to be my teacher. But I looked up where he lived, and it was New York. Now, New York to me then was like the moon. You might as well ask me to go to the moon as go to New York. It seemed so absolutely impossible. But I kept reading this lecture. And then one day I asked a member of my church, have you read this lecture? And she said, oh yes, he's our next lecturer. He's coming here next month. Well, I couldn't wait for this man to come. His lecture was on Thursday and he came to church on Wednesday. And I went up to him afterwards and I said, you get a message like that. That is an angel message. And the angel message, he said, is the Christ speaking to you. So everything necessary to make that happen will come into your experience. And I absolutely believed him. I accepted him, accepted that. That was May, and his class was in August. The same week, four of my children were accepted as pupils at a school for Christian Scientists in England. I was told that they would all need three sets of sheets each, bedclothes, six sets of towels, dressing gowns, pajamas, their uniforms, their everything. Oh my goodness, it just seemed absolutely impossible for us to even meet that, never mind think about me trying to go to New York.